I'm assuming it was a non-eventful apocalypse for you today as well. But was there even like 1% of you that was interested in whether or not something might happen that would coincide with the predictions of Harold Camping?
My only interest in it really was to, just to see what the response would be. You know, my interest in all this is why people believe what they believe and what reasons they give when their beliefs are not confirmed or apparently not confirmed. So this is a classic study in when prophecy fails, what do people do? I mean, is Camping going to issue a statement saying those three immortal words, "I was wrong"? No, that will not happen. And the guy in New York who spent $140,000, he's not likely to say, "This was a silly idea and I don't know what I was thinking and how embarrassing." No, that almost never happens. Typically, you get a series of rationalizations, such as
right.
We miscalculated the date. It's, you know, next year, or right. 10 years from now, or next week, or whatever, always within the prophet's lifetime, of course. Or you can say that the end of the world did happen. You know, that earthquake or that unrest in the Middle East or
right.
the tsunami or the whatever. Just open the paper tomorrow and there'll be something that happened. That's what newspapers do. They report on unusual events. So,
well,
or you can say that the world did end spiritually, not physically, and that we're in a new age now. Or you can say that this was a test of our faith and the fact that we obediently, you know, followed through with our belief in the rapture, God spared us in the world because we showed how loyal and faithful we were.
Right.
So I'm predicting one of those will be, or something like that, will be on the offing in the next couple of days to the next week or two.
In the believing brain, I mean, you make you make sweeping sort of estimations. You put people together in the same category who believe in ghosts and, for that matter, God or politics or conspiracy theories. You kind of put them all in the same bucket, although maybe for different reasons, as all of these people are believing things which don't follow the same way as you think our belief should follow, which is scientifically.
Not quite. Actually, actually, it's a good summary of the big bucket picture. What I'm interested in this book, you know, my first book was Why People Believe Weird Things. In this book, I'm interested why people believe things, full stop. And the fact that we are pattern-seeking primates, we look for and connect the dots in nature. We think A is connected to B and B is connected to C. And when we believe that, we actually, it's called learning, association learning. We actually grow new inner neural connections and we reinforce neural pathways through dopamine and other neurochemical transmitter substances. All this is well documented in neuroscience. The problem is we don't have a good baloney detection module in our brain. So we tend to believe almost all patterns we encounter, and even the false ones. And we're not very good at discriminating between true and false patterns, and that's called superstition or magical thinking. So even scientists do this. For example, there's something called the confirmation bias that I write about in the book, and that's where we look for and find confirming evidence for what we already believe, and we ignore the disconfirming evidence. We remember the hits, we forget the misses. We filter out all information. If you're conservative, you listen to conservative talk radio, you read the Wall Street Journal. If you're liberal, you read the New York Times and so forth. And everybody does this, including scientists. So scientists, once they commit to a particular hypothesis or theory, their brains are well programmed to look for evidence that supports it and ignore the evidence that doesn't. The difference is that if you don't find your disconfirming evidence, somebody else will, usually with great glee in a published forum, and make their mark by debunking your theory. And so the science has developed these interesting tools to help us get around these confirmation biases, these cognitive biases. For example, the blind and double-blind controls that are put in experiments, they're there because if you know which condition the subject's in and you're recording his responses, you're likely to misrecord it in the direction of in favor of your theory. So not only does the subject have to be blind to the condition because of the placebo effect, the experimenter has to also be blind because of the experimenter bias. So scientists are no different. There's nothing special about scientists. They're humans and have the same biases as everybody else. It's just that science itself is a very special system that evolved just for this very problem of avoiding these biases.
Well, I was merely quoting your prologue when you wrote, how can we tell the difference between what we would like to be true and what is actually true? You say the answer is science.
Science has a built-in self-correcting machinery there that I think sets it apart. It's not perfect, but it's the best tool we have.
Why do you think people like to buy into or feel the need to be a part of a millenarian movement like this this belief in the significance of May 21st?
Oh, well, first of all, it's a tribal thing. We all like being members of some social group. It's important to us. And so religions provide that, as do lots of other social groups that give social capital. What the apocalypse offers is something else. It writes you into the narrative story as somebody special, that there's a beginning and end to history. The time is not random and chaotic, that it has a particular direction or flow to it, and that it will happen. The big thing will happen in our lifetime, and I will be part of it. You will never hear an apocalyptic preacher or a prophecy prognosticator say something like, the world's going to end in 200 years from now, dang it, I'm going to miss it. Or the world's going to end next year, but you know, this other religious group are going to be the chosen ones, not us. Dang it, we chose the wrong religion. No one ever says that. And it's not just religious people. I mean, environmentalists and, you know, Marxists and all kinds of secularists believe in a kind of an end time scenario where, you know, if we have our bomb shelters up in Idaho with our guns and gold and food stash for 6 months, you know, when the U.S. government collapses and the economy collapses, we will come out the other end. So apocalyptic stories are not about destruction. They're about redemption. Destruction is only the first half. Redemption is the second half. We will be redeemed. The earth's, you know, what we did to the earth or what we did to, you know, to God or, you know, whatever the version is, secular or religious, it's always that there's going to be a good ending to the story for me, for us, for our group.